Amen. Good morning, Journey. How are you doing? Good. I feel a lot of energy here today. We like it. Happy birthday to Asmin, your husband. I don't know where he's at. You see Asmin. There he is. Happy birthday, Asmin. If we have not met yet, my name is Davis Wilson, and I have the privilege of being your speaker here today. My wife, Amanda, and I, that's Amanda, hello. We. Woo! We moved here last September, and we felt God calling us here, and we came here to lead this youth program, as well as serve on staff and do a number of different things here, and spend our first year of marriage in Northern Ireland, which, yeah, it was quite the adventure. God has taught us so much, but it wasn't always easy. We, at times... We thought coming here, all right, they speak English, we speak English, we're going to be speaking the same language. No, we quickly found out a lot of it is not the same language. My wife is a big encourager. If you've ever been around her, she loves to encourage you. So if you wear a nice outfit, she'll say, wow, I really like the pants that you're wearing. Because that's what we would say in America. We quickly found out here that pants means underwear. That was a newsflash for us. As well, as we learned a hard way, another term that you guys use here. One family we've gotten very close with is the Watt family, Ian and Victoria Watt. Ian's one of the elders, Victoria's on the prayer ministry team. And they invite us over and spend a lot of time with us, and we love them. Then one week, Victoria said, hey, you should come over Friday at 7:15 for tea. So I thought, I like tea. I'll go over at 7:15. So all week, we're gearing up for tea. So at 6:30 in the Wilson household, we have dinner. So Amanda made a big cheeseburgers, french fries, salad, and I eat a lot. So she's like, I need you to eat. So in case they don't have food, you're not full. So this is to last you the whole night. So I ate a lot. 7:15, we're at the Watts, sitting in the living room. Ian asks, hey, would you like something to drink? Tea. Yes, that is the whole reason we're here, is it not? Like, give me some tea. And I'm also wondering, where's Victoria? Like, why is she not in the room with us until she eventually peeks her head out of the kitchen and says, hey, food is ready. And Davis, I know you eat a lot, so I made sure there's enough for seconds. We did not have the heart to tell her, so we powered through this cheesy chicken pasta, the sides, and then after we finished the main meal, it's like, I can't have seconds. She brings out this white chocolate raspberry cheesecake that we ate. We ate it. And so, Victoria, we can now tell you, that was a lot of food. Our bathroom had some use that weekend, but it was a great meal. The food was incredible. It was incredible. But in all seriousness, we have loved this year. We have, and whenever anyone asks us, what is your favorite part about being in Northern Ireland, it's you guys. But without question, every time we just say, it is the community, it is how you have made us feel welcomed, you've invited us into your homes for tea and all sorts of different things. But we could not have asked for a bigger blessing to spend our first year of marriage here with you guys and to get to know you, to serve alongside you, and just have fun. So from the bottom of Amanda's and my heart, we just want to say thank you for this incredible year. And we felt so blessed. Yes. So as we dive into our summer series, I was praying about what to speak on today, and I just felt the Lord say, share what I've been teaching you. And so this is going to be a dive into the thoughts of Davis, which might be scary, but we're going to get through it. It's going to be a good day. And I've been in this really deep dive in the study of Joseph. And it's such in depth. Every time I leave the study, Amanda just looks at me and I'm just sitting there silent for like 30 minutes of everything I've just been downloaded and have to process. But before we get into part of it, we need to go over a brief summary of Joseph and who he was, in case maybe you don't know his story. So Joseph was the son of Jacob, and he had 11 brothers. You might know him. He was the chosen brother. He was his father's favorite son. He was the guy with the coat of many colors, right? And so this made all of his brothers very jealous. And so his brothers sold him into slavery. And while in slavery, he got himself into some trouble, got accused of something he didn't do, and then ended up being thrown in prison. And then starts interpreting dreams, which ends up elevating him out of prison and ends up being number two in command in all of Egypt. Only guy above him is Pharaoh. So Joseph lives this incredible, incredible life. But one of the questions that pops up when studying Joseph is, why do we even hear so much about Joseph? Because I started thinking, all right, Joseph lives an incredible story, but we get Jesus from his brother Judah. Judah, from the line of Judah comes King David, and then later on down the line, Jesus. So wouldn't we want to hear more about this Judah guy instead of his brother? I couldn't come up with an answer. So I would think we need to know more about him rather than Joseph. One thing about studying scripture I have found is that there's a lot we just don't know. It doesn't matter if you're the top theologian in the world, there are so many questions about the Bible that we just don't have answers to. So if you've ever been reading scripture and being like, I don't understand what's happening here, you're not alone. Nobody does sometimes. But the more I study, a lot of times I leave with more questions than I started with, like this question about Judah. When we interpret scripture, a good framework to think about is, all right, who is the author? Who are they writing to? And what do they want us to know? But something that also can help us process a story like this is to think of the story of Joseph like a much smaller piece of a much larger picture that's being told. Have you ever heard of a photo mosaic? I think we have a slide of the photo of a photo mosaic, but a photo mosaic is a bunch of little pictures that work together to create one much larger picture. So when we think of the story of Joseph, yeah, so a bunch of little photos that work together to make a bigger picture. So when looking at the story of Joseph, it can help us if we zoom out and think, all right, how does this story fit with the rest of Scripture? And when we do that, it can really help us bring clarity to everything. Because when we zoom out of the story of Joseph and just look at it as a whole, it provides for us a model. It'll give us a theme that we'll see over and over in Scripture. You'll see this theme all throughout the Old Testament, especially, of Joseph as this chosen one, right? He's the chosen brother. He is the favorite. He's clearly chosen. And then he goes through this period of suffering. He's a slave. He goes into prison. And then he is later exalted. He's at number two in command and ends up saving all of Egypt from starving to death. Yes, there's the model. Chosen, suffering, exalted. So the story of Joseph provides for us that model, but let's continue to zoom out and see how it compares to other stories. Like Moses. Moses was chosen. Pharaoh was going around killing all the babies, so his mother put him in a basket and put him in the river so Pharaoh's daughter could find him later in the river. Clearly was chosen. Then he murders someone and has to go into hiding for 40 years, is suffering, and then is later exalted to lead the people of Egypt out of slavery. David, he as a shepherd boy, is chosen to be king of Israel, then goes through suffering as King Saul was trying to murder him, and then later is exalted to be the king of Israel and to lead them into the most prosperous time in Israel's history. Esther, let's get the ladies involved. Esther was chosen to be queen for such a time as this, and then has to lay her life on the line, comes face to face to death, and then later is exalted to save all of the Jewish people. And you could keep going with Job, Jeremiah, Daniel. All of them use this model of chosen, suffering, and then exalted. And they're all exalted to lead a group of people into to be saved or to be rescued for something. And all of it is pointing to someone else. It's showing us that, yes, these people are great, but it's just giving us a glimpse of something even greater that's to come later on. You see, if we take Scripture as just individual stories, we can miss this much larger narrative that's being written. Because all of it, everything in this book is being written to point to one man, Jesus. Those stories were predicting who was to come, the ultimate narrative of God's chosen son who came to this earth to suffer and then ultimately be exalted into God's right hand, providing a way to save all of his people. And as I've been learning about this and thinking about this, I couldn't help but see myself in this model, not saying that I am Joseph, I am not David, definitely not Jesus. But I think this model gives us a picture of what the Christian life is like. Because as Christians, we are a chosen people. You have been chosen by God. And the Bible also tells us if you are a Christian, you're going to have to suffer. You will have suffering while here on this earth. But it also promises that if we humble ourselves before God, you will be exalted. It was about a year and a half ago when I first showed up here at Journey, and being here has forever changed my life, and much for the better. It has been such an incredible experience, and I can confidently say that myself and Amanda are both leaving here as much better versions of ourselves than when we came, which for me was not hard to beat. When I first showed up here, I was at the lowest point in my life. Before I came here, I was a pastor at a pretty decent-sized church back in Cleveland, Ohio. We had over 1,000 people that would come on Sunday mornings through all the services. I was the youth pastor. I was the young adult pastor. I would preach some on Sunday mornings, and life was great. I was getting a lot of praise, getting a lot of attention. It felt significant, and it felt really good. I liked it. Until one day it all came crashing down. Something in my past popped up unexpectedly, and in a moment, everything I worked for was just gone. And I just was left feeling like my entire reason for being on this planet was taken away from me. My purpose felt like there was no other reason for me to exist, and I just didn't know what to do. I can remember driving down the road. I was on this bridge, and I wanted to just drive off this bridge because I did not care anymore. I did not know what to do with myself. The situation was very public, given my position, and just rocked me. I had to resign from my position on a Sunday evening. Monday, I learned that coming to Journey Church was an option. Tuesday, I packed. Wednesday, I was on an airplane. And ever since then has just felt like heart surgery with a chisel and a hammer, and the surgeons were God and John freaking Ash. But at first, I would not let them operate. I was so angry. I was mad. All my thoughts were just focused on, how could this happen to me? This is not fair. Why we let liars win? Why does this happen? When is God going to fix this? How could this happen? This needs to be resolved. All blah, 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 me, and my problems. But similar to the photo mosaic, it took me to first be able to just accept what has happened. And then zoom out. Think about, all right, how does this go along with what God is doing? To not be so focused on myself. Because if God is sovereign, God holds all the power, which he does. He allowed this to happen. So there must be a reason. And for me, once I could finally zoom out a little bit and look beyond what was happening to me and playing a victim, I could finally see my problems were never that big. at least in comparison to God, that he could fix my problems in a second. He could fix all of our problems in a moment. He formed the heavens and the earth. He can fix my problems. But God wanted me to go through a period of suffering so that he could teach me something, to refine me, to mold me, to humble me, to teach me that all of this is not about me. It's about him. Amanda and I went from leading a youth group of over 100 kids to about 10. I went from preaching to over 1,000 people to spending most of my time twice a week cleaning this building. It was very humbling, but God taught me so much through it. Taught me that what I was doing was about getting the approval of people, making sure that I was significant based on what I did instead of who I am. And who I was this performance-based, prideful, sin-filled man. And now, I am somebody that would rather clean for the glory of God than preach for the glory of Davis. Well, my story is not unique. There are countless stories of Christians, of believers who struggle with their sin and go through suffering. It might not be the exact same story that I have, but I'm sure there's something in there that many of you have felt a calling on your life. And then you've had to go through this period of suffering, or maybe you're in a period of suffering right now. And if that's you, my message is not say, oh, just change your perspective and then everything will be great, but ignore it. But no, like if you need help, get some help. There are incredible counselors here. Amanda and I have been in counseling almost weekly for the past year. I think everyone needs counseling. Get counseling. But I think we can get to a point where we are too focused on our problems to where it can consume our thoughts and our entire lives. And when sometimes we just need to zoom out and remind ourselves it's not about us. There's something much bigger than us going on, and in all that we are facing, there is a lesson that God wants us to learn. Put the chosen slide up. The first thing that you need to accept is that you are chosen. John talks about this Northern Irish false humility that don't really like to take compliments or accept that you guys are great. But God has chosen you. You might think you walk in here because you chose God, but he chose you. He gave you a specific calling. He gave you a gifting that only you have to do amazing and incredible things that only you were put on this earth here to do. Every single one of you here. Your calling is so much higher than just to be inside of these walls. Being a Christian is so much more than where you park your car for an hour a week. Even if you don't believe in yourself, believe in God enough that he can fill you with the power to do incredible things. And some of you, that's where you're at. That you finally need to accept that you are chosen. That God specifically has chosen you to join in the body of Christ. To join with all of the believers here. Join with the believers that have come before us. The ones that we read about. To spread, to continue with the mission to spread the gospel. And he's given you a specific role and purpose for to help the body grow. And if you aren't sure if you're a part of the body, I want you to consider this question. If you were no longer a part of the body, would there be a function missing? It's a very simple question. If I woke up tomorrow and was missing a hand, or if I was missing a leg, I would notice. I would not be able to function how I normally would function. So if we are able to leave the body and there's no function missing, were we really a part of the body? Next slide. I know some of us in here are going through some things that are really, really hard. We've had people that have lost loved ones recently. gotten diagnoses. Maybe your family is divided. Maybe you've lost your job, or I don't know, but there's so many things that all of you are facing. And I'm not gonna try to minimize what you may be going through. I know it's very real and hard, but I'm just sharing the experiences of what I've learned after going through it. That the Bible teaches us to embrace suffering, to rejoice in it, which may sound impossible to you right now, but what I can tell you is the thing that once made me want to drive off a bridge, I am now thankful for. Because it has brought me closer to Him. It has helped shape me and rid myself of all of these things that were holding me back. So I'll say to you, if you are suffering, zoom out. Remind yourself of who He is. Look at the bigger picture of God. Look at everything that He has done, what He is capable of, that there is nobody or nothing that can stand against Him. And then accept His will is better than ours. Next slide. A lot of you are going through some crazy things that God wants to use to teach you. And maybe you've learned to embrace your suffering, even rejoice in your suffering. And it's being used to prepare you for what God wants to take you next. And for that, I will say, hold on to God's promises. If He's spoken a word to you, if there's a passage in Scripture that has been speaking to you, hold on to it. Because it might take a while in order to be exalted. Moses had to wait 40 years away before he was exalted. And it might not even be a worldly exaltation. You might, maybe you will be, but you might not become the king of Israel. But it might be a spiritual exaltation that God wants to do in your life. That's what it feels like for me. I feel as though I have already been exalted. But if you look at my life from a worldly perspective, like I mentioned all of those things and spend the first year of marriage with zero income and much less people around in our ministries. And yet, I already feel as though I've been exalted. I came to Journey feeling empty and weak, not knowing what to do, and now I feel full and have gotten to experience glimpse and encounters with the Lord for maybe for the first time in my life. Hold on to God's promises. It may take time, but God always shows up when He needs to. The band could start to come back up. A couple months ago, I felt like the Lord gave me a word for this church. And I'm excited to finally be able to share it. But before I got here, the church Amanda and I were at, it was not charismatic at all. We had little to no experience in a charismatic church. It was pretty conservative. So seeing all of the spiritual gifts going around here was very new. It was very uncomfortable. I'm like, why are these people on the ground? Is someone dying? Why are people walking around going, bah! Like, I didn't understand what was going on. Thank you. But now I can't imagine my life without it. I can't imagine doing church without the spiritual gifts, and I'm just so excited for God to continue to take that deeper and deeper in myself. And He took what was dead and barren, and He brought it to a place I didn't even know existed. That is what God did for me through this church. And I felt the Lord say that that's what He wants to do here at Journey. He wants to take this church to places that no one even thought possible. To see revival happen here, to see the Spirit move in ways that has never been even dreamt of, to places that no one even knows where it can go. That is what God wants to do. But it's going to take His people to humble themselves before Him before He can do it. And I don't know what specifically that looks like for each and every one of you. That's between you and the Lord. But I know humbling yourself from the Lord looks a lot like kneeling before Him, saying, Lord, here is my life. Here are my fears. Here's what I want to do. Here's what I think I should do. These are my dreams, my fears, my doubt. Here is my life. Take it. And let Him do something with it. And so as the band plays, my hope is that you will just do some business with the Lord today. It takes all of us, from someone the first time here to the pastors, to humble themselves before the Lord, before he will exalt. The Lord wants to do incredible things here. He wants to use this place. Will you let him? Will you lay down your life and pick up a cross? Will you just pray with me before we worship? Lord, I ask for your spirit to fall down on this place, for it to be tangible, for it to just, to feel you, to get glimpses of you, that people will encounter you and for the first time or the first time in a long time, or just, that no one here will leave the same, that your spirit will be active and moving. Lord, we just come expectantly to your throne. We are so excited for what you want to do. And I just pray that you speak to each and every one of us. What is it that you want us to lay down? How can we humble ourselves before you, Lord? In Jesus' name, amen.